Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. Faithful Varret Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. The Green Hornet strikes again.
We'll begin tonight's exciting story in just a moment.
As a loyal alumnus, Britt Reed attended the big game of the year and took Michael Axford with him.
Run, you saucing! Leg it! That's the stuff! He's in the clear!
To take care of. Drop him at the office when you get a chance. We'll rehash old times. Our foreman, we'll have lunch together.
I'll do that.
Hey, Benny, you coming?
Be right with you.
Pardon if I seem the crowd. Why don't you shove on?
All right. I'll drop in, Britt.
I'll be looking for you.
In a day or so.
Our car's over here, Axford.
Hey, he's a nice looking young fella.
Oh, swell guy.
Why ain't you going to that grill or whatever it is?
It'll be too much of a party. I don't feel quite up to it.
Hey, that guy's a cartoon. You see him?
Yes. What about him?
He ain't one of your fat brothers, is he?
No.
I didn't think so. That guy's no good.
Do you know him?
Yeah, his name is Mitten. Shady Mitten, we used to know him as.
Oh, Shady Mitten.
By golly, that lugger's been investigated by the cops more times than you can shake a stick at. He's been in a lot of confidence games and things.
Well, strange company for Lenny Forrester.
Yeah. I wonder where he picked up with a guy like that.
Axford, Lenny is probably wondering the same thing about you.
Oh, is that so now? Well, Reed, I'll tell you this much. If Lenny goes to that blowout tonight and has Minton along with him, he better watch his step. If he gets too much to drink, Minton will take the gold out of his teeth.
Idea. Come on, I'll take you out.
You needn't leave.
Oh, I've had enough of this place anyhow. Here, I'll leave this to cover our check. Come on, Lenny.
Is he?
Let me help you.
Hey, I guess I need it.
This way. You lean on me.
Hi, Lenny. One too many?
Oh, don't pay any attention to him.
That is Lenny Forrester.
that check, hmm?
Here, somewhere.
Hello, Mitten. Well, what's happened to your friend?
Oh, hello, Waddles. Stick with me. I may need some help.
Check.
Here, baby. Get Mr. Forrester's hat and coat.
Didn't take him long.
Lay off the crack, sister. Mr. Forrester don't like him.
Hat, coat,
Here you are, sir. Shall I help him with them?
Don't bother. You carry the hat and coat, Waddles.
Yeah, sure thing.
This way, Lenny. Right outside. You feel better when the air hits you.
Mr. Forrester's car.
We gotta get home.
Steady now. They're bringing your car around.
Hello, baby. Leaving early?
Bradford, hello. I'm taking my friend Len Forrester home. He's ill.
What is she?
Well, Len, this is Carl Bradford, the attorney. Good friend of mine.
How do you do?
Hello.
Here's your car, sir.
Thank you. Here you are.
Thank you.
Len's hardly in condition to drive a car, but he insists on it.
Rather risky driving that condition. You know how the law is about drunken drivers.
Here's your car, Len. See you later, Bradford.
Yes, yes.
I don't feel...
You'll be all right, Len. Driving will clear your head. There now.
In you go.
Come on, Waddles.
Right. Benton, I... Wouldn't you...
Easy. You'll be better for driving. Go ahead now.
How is he, Milton?
Just about out.
You got the wheel?
Sure. Everything's just swell. Here, I'll pull over the curb and stop. Cold now. I'll drive.
Great. Everyone signed take the wheel and we left the grill. It's working slick.
Including Kyle Bradford, the attorney. Oh, what could be sweeter?
Did you know he'd be on hand?
No, that was just a lucky break.
Slide him over here and take the wheel.
Yeah. Yep.
Over here, come. Come on. Yeah.
There. Got it? There now. Be on hand, won't he?
Right. That's his orders. So has Doc.
Okay. And there's sure to be witnesses on that corner. Hey, look at that car coming. Zigzagging from one side to the other.
Another one of those college guys.
Yeah, they ought to be jailed.
Look out, he's going to turn.
Out here and make you look seriously injured. Just remember to insist that I take care of you.
On Monday, Michael Axford perched on the edge of Miss Case's desk while he tried to tell Britt Reed's preoccupied secretary about the football game.
The guy's just about to get knocked for a goal by a couple red-shirted guys, and then he fools him. He throws that pigskin...
Casey, are you following me?
Hit and run, me eye. I'm trying to tell you about football. That's baseball.
It's murder in some cases. Michael, do you want to do me a $1 million favor with trimmings on it?
Huh?
Sit down and be quiet for a few minutes.
Well, now, that's
I'm trying to whip up an editorial for Mr. Reed. Did you see this morning's story in the Sentinel?
What about?
Hit and run drivers. The Sentinel's starting a campaign for stiffer penalties when they're caught. Did you have any ideas?
By golly, there's something they should get where they are.
What was that?
Stiffer penalties when they're caught. That's what them hit-and-run guys should get. What are you writing?
Gunnigan had an editorial in the last edition. Mr. Reed wants a stronger one in the next.
What's that got to do with you?
Well, Mr. Reed told Gunnigan he'd show him exactly what he meant.
Good for Reed. That's the stuff.
Yes, but then he turned and he said to me, write it. Then he went to luncheon at the Civic Club. That was 3 hours ago.
And he ain't back yet?
No.
Did he have a date to meet someone there?
Yes, a fraternity brother of his, Len Forrester, phoned and made an appointment.
Oh, golly, that's it.
Well, that's what?
That's the day shot. Them two are old pals. If Reed was to meet Forrester for lunch, the chances are it'll wind up at dinner time. I can just see the two of them sitting in that swell dining room, two of the pals.
See, Britton, I saw that article in your paper, Hit and Runner.
Thought I'd call you for some unbiased advice.
When did you hit this man, Lenny?
Last Saturday night, on the way home from the grill.
And you didn't even stop the car?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember anything at all. All I know is what I was told.
Well, when did you learn about it?
Last evening. You see, there happened to be a doctor who saw the accident. He got my license number. He treated this man and then took him home. He called me last night.
The doctor did?
Yes, Dr. Hill. Here's his card. I called Minton right away, and he confirmed what the doctor had said. Minton said that a man named Wattles had been in the car with us.
Have you talked to an attorney?
Yes, Minton called a lawyer named Bradford. We'd seen him at the grill. You know Carl Bradford?
I know who he is. He's a good counsel.
Well, we went to call on Katz. That's the man I struck. He's in terrible shape. Probably crippled for life.
And you didn't report the accident at all?
No.
Hit and run. Driving while drunk.
Oh, Brett, I...
Another thing, Len. Your record in traffic court's none too good.
Don't I know it? I've got a string of speeding convictions as long as your arm. If ever goes into court, I'll get a jail sentence.
Well, Lenny...
Fred, I swear I wasn't drunk. I don't remember a thing that happened, but I had taken just one highball.
Did you report it to the insurance company?
Good Lord, no, I can't. That would mean that the police would know.
What did Bradford advise you to do?
Report it to the police and take the rap. But I can't. I know I'm not guilty.
Guilty or not, there's a strong case against you. Witnesses and all.
I know it.
Did Dr. Hill take Katz to a hospital?
He said that Katz insisted on going home, so he took him there.
And where does Katz live?
In a cottage at 310 Elm Street.
Was he conscious?
Oh, yes, I talked to him. He said he was willing to keep things quiet if I paid for the injuries.
So you paid?
$10,000.
Lenny!
Well, what else could I do? But do you think that'll be the end of it?
Well, I'm afraid, Lenny, you'll have to ask Katz. Oh, no, I have to get back to my office.
Must you go?
Yes. I've got to write an editorial.
You?
Yes. We're conducting a campaign, you see. Trying to get the courts to hand out stiffer jolts to hit-run drivers.
Here's Reed now.
Oh, well, Mr. Reed, I have that editorial ready. The one you wrote.
Send it to Gunnigan, will you, Miss Case? I'm going to spend the rest of the afternoon getting acquainted with the morgue.
Where the cadavers are?
No, expert. The morgue of the Daily Sentinel. That evening, Cato, the trusted Filipino valet, came into Britt Reed's bedroom.
But, Mr. Britt, you said to let you know when Mr. Axford went out.
Has he gone to police headquarters again, Cato?
Yes, sir.
Cato, I learned quite a bit when I dug into the old files at the office.
Yes?
Minton has a pretty bad record. Dr. Hill's is worse.
It is?
If the Medical Association could prove charges of fee-splitting and quackery against him, he'd be out of the association. There seems to me to be too much coincidence about Len Forrester's trouble.
Coincidence?
Dr. Hill on hand when the accident occurred. Len going stiff on one drink. Minton just happening to meet Wattles.
What are you going to do, Mr. Britt?
I'm going to call on this injured man named Katz. I have a few ideas of my own.
We'll continue our Green Hornet adventure in just a moment. Now back to our story. Brett Reed's investigation of the individuals involved led him to suspect that his friend Len Forrester was the victim of a carefully planned blackmail scheme. With Cato, the young publisher sat in his bedroom, laying the groundwork for the evening's activity. Put fresh charges in that gas weapon, Cato.
I'm doing so, Mr. Britt.
And get out the rest of the stuff I'll need. There's a list there on the desk.
Well, very well.
I'm going to confirm one suspicion by phone.
Hello?
Hello, Doc Hill.
Yes?
Have you heard from Minton today?
Who's calling?
Skip that. Just answer the question.
I haven't heard from him.
We'd better be at Katz's place at 9 tonight.
Why?
I don't know what Minton has in mind. Just be there, that's all. Suspicion confirmed, Cato. He knows Minton pretty well.
You think he will be at Katz's place?
I'm going to count on it. That stuff ready?
Weapon, mask, and other things are ready.
Come on, then. It's time for the Green Hornet to move.
Stepping through a secret panel in the rear of a closet in his bedroom, Red Reed and Cato went along a narrow passageway built within the walls of the apartment itself. This led to an adjoining building which fronted on a dark side street. Though supposedly abandoned, this building served as a hiding place for the sleek, super-powered Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet.
Cato, I just had another idea.
Is it funny to you, Mr. Reed?
You said Axford was at headquarters.
Well, yes, sir.
I'll take a page one story to him in person. We'll need the convertible as well as the Black Beauty.
The two cars?
You take the convertible. Park a little away from the front of Katz's house, and when you see the lights blink, start the car and drive into the side entrance. Is that clear?
Well, yes, sir.
We'll get going.
Britt Reed pressed a button. The great car roared into life. A section of the wall in front raised automatically, then closed as the gleaming Black Beauty sped into the darkness.
Punk. Look at me. I got some real bruises when I jumped in front of that guy's car. I ought to get a bigger cut. Ain't many guys can take a fall like I can.
You'll have cash to spend long after the bruises are forgotten.
How long I got to stay in the house and play like I'm crippled?
You'll see how young Forrester takes it. Mintner's going to try to shake him down for another 10,000.
Hello, Doc.
Phew. That mask. It's the Green Hornet. How'd you get in here?
Pick the lock on the back door. You should be in bed, shouldn't you, Mitten?
What are you doing here?
Doc and I have business to talk over. Hurt from Mitten yet, Doc?
No. What's the idea? You busted in
here. Take it easy. I'm showing the boys how to get into the big dough.
Big dough?
Sure. Hattie can get about $100,000 out of Forrest.
Who's Hattie?
Your widow.
What?
You see, Doc, the fellow Forrester struck died from the injury.
Now, wait a minute.
Shut up, Katz. You've got nothing to say about
but
it.
You'll
have to go to work on this guy so it'll look convincing when the police medical examiner goes over him.
The police medical examiner? Hey, I ain't
going
to go to...
Are you going to shut up or must I shut you up?
You mean he's really to die?
Of course he has to die. We've got to have a corpse to show Forrester.
Right, fun. That's...
Now, hold on. I didn't agree to get mixed up in murder.
You're mixed up in it now, Doc, and there's only one way out.
Well, you can't do this. It's murder.
I'll put you to sleep with this gas weapon. You won't feel anything.
No, stop. I won't stand for this.
He got me.
Doc, you better have some, too.
No.
Yes, Dr. Hill. That's just the beginning, you rats.
The Green Hornet quickly cut the phone wire, then drew out a case containing a charged hypodermic needle. He shot a colorless fluid into the arm of Tumbler Katz to counteract the effect of the gas.
And that'll bring him around in a couple of minutes.
Red Reed switched the lights off and on to signal Cato, who watched from a short distance away. Cato then drove the convertible to the side door of the house. Britt was there waiting. He quickly changed to a different hat and coat. He gave Cato the mask of the Green Hornet. The Black Beauty's over there in the alley. Go and stay with it, Cato, until I return.
Yes, sir.
In the meantime, Tumbler Katz recovered consciousness. He remembered the Green Hornet's plan to kill him. Then he saw the doctor sprawled on the floor. Wide-eyed with fear, he leaped to his feet and rushed to the door. There was a convertible coupe in the driveway. A well-dressed man was walking toward him.
Hello there.
I'm looking for a man named Katz.
I can't talk now. I gotta hurry.
Hold on. You're all bandaged up.
Let go my arm.
Is your name Katz?
What of it? Let me go.
I thought you were badly hurt.
Oh, please let me go. I don't want to die.
I expected to find you a lot nearer death than this.
No.
My friend Forrester said you were badly hurt. I came to talk to you.
Oh, tell Mr. Funk. I gotta get to the cops. Let me go before the Hornet comes back.
The Hornet?
He's gonna kill me, I tell you. I gotta get the cops.
Great Scott, get into my car. I'll take you to police headquarters in record time. Here's police headquarters, Katz. That's Sergeant Burke at the desk. The man with him is from my newspaper.
Someone's name. It's Britt Reed.
Who's the guy with all the bandages?
Axford brought a story to you.
You've got to help me. You've got to save me.
Reed, who's this?
His name is Katz, Tumbler Katz. It's a long story, Axford. You see, my friend Forrester got into something of a jam. I was going to call on this man Katz when he rushed from the house.
It's the Hornet.
Suffering snakes, Don.
He's got in with Minton and Wattles. He's going to kill me.
What's that about Minton?
You can get the facts, expert. I'm going over to Forrester's house.
The Hornet's around somewhere. I got conscious and seen the dock on the floor, and I ran out.
I'll hold everything. Let's get these facts straight.
Reed, stick around. This might be good.
Len Forrester will be waiting for me, expert. Phone me there if you get anything sensational. Strolled out of the police headquarters, but once in the street, he moved fast. In his convertible, he hurried to the nearest drugstore and dialed the number of Mitten's home. Mitten, get this the first time and get it straight. I can't repeat. Doc wants you to know that the Green Hornet's trying to muscle in. Katz got scared and ran to the cops. He's spilling the works about you. Get ready to land. Brought the convertible to a stop a few yards from where he'd parked the Black Beauty in a dark alley.
Mr. Britt, is everything all right?
It is so far, but time's precious. And take this coat.
Oh, yes, sir.
The other outfit. The outfit I wear with a mask.
Right here. I hold coat for you.
Okay, look. Here are the plans for the rest of the night. We're going from here to Mitten's house. Now listen.
Your Doc's house?
No answer.
What do you make of it, Mitten?
I don't know what to make of it.
No idea who it was that phoned with the warning about the Green Hornet?
Wasn't a voice I'd ever heard before.
Would you know it if you heard it again?
No, I don't think so.
I don't like the way things stack up. Try Katz again. Maybe Doc's over there.
No use, but I'll try.
Told you it was out of order the last time to me.
Yeah. Same as before, University 3628.
I'm sorry, sir. That line is out of order.
Nuts.
Now what?
Waddles, I'm taking no chances. We'll be ready to scram if the cops show up.
Think that'd be smart?
Smarter than answer a lot of questions if Tumbler Katz tells all he knows. Here, hold this briefcase.
Got everything ready to move fast?
Goes right here in the desk. $10,000.
Good thing we hadn't split with Doc and Katz.
Yeah. Now give me the bag. I'll put the cash in just in case.
Yeah.
Now, the first sign of the cops, we clear out.
Hey, car stopped out front.
Let me see.
The scout car.
Uh-oh, that's our cue to move. Come on.
Sure we can get out the back way? Maybe they've got that watch.
Yeah, they won't have. This way, Bottles.
Cops at the door.
The time they get in, we'll be gone. My car's in the garage at the corner. We'll take it and scoot. Here's the door. Going somewhere?
The Hornet.
The Green Hornet.
I'll take that briefcase and exchange. Hold your...
No, no, don't kill us.
Fool, the cops are out front.
The Hornet!
Take it, you fathead. You can stay and work on the cops. I've got places to go.
Don't shoot me.
Just gas to put you asleep.
No.
You'll wake up in the arms of the law.
I heard yells out here. He told us there's something out of the Hornet.
So long, rats.
Hey, look what's here on the ground.
Hey, that's Minton.
He's out cold. It's the work of the Hornet.
That Green Hornet must be around here.
We gotta find him. Spread out and search the place.
While Axford and the police milled around the house, Britt Reed stood next to the Black Beauty in a dark alley nearby. He handed Cato the mask for the second time that evening. Get into the Black Beauty, Cato. Open her wide and let the police and Axford know the Green Hornet's car is on the run. Britt walked down the alley to his convertible. Then he heard the well-known sound of the Black Beauty.
There he goes! The Green Hornet! Get that car! Get it!
Smiled in the darkness as the police took after Cato. He knew that the Black Beauty was already out of reach. He waited until the last of the police cars had left. Then he stepped into his convertible. Britt was no longer the Green Hornet. He was just Britt Reed, driving to call on his friend, Len Forrester.
To come home. Have I got news?
I told you I'd be at Len Forrester's, actually. Did you call there?
Yeah, but you'd already left.
Did that phony accident the victim squeal?
Did he squeal? Oh, golly. He spilled everything about a game his gang was working on your friend Forrester. I told you that guy Minton was no good.
Yes, you told me.
We got the crooked doctor and Minton and the guy with Minton.
Then Forrester told me he paid those crooks $10,000. Did you recover that?
Reed, I was that close to getting it. Only the Hornet got there first. Minton said he had the dough in a briefcase and the Green Hornet got away with it.
Well, Forrester deserves to lose it. He's a pretty reckless driver. Perhaps this will be a lesson to him.
Yeah. If only someone worthwhile got the dough instead of that Green Hornet.
Well, tell me the details in the morning, Axford. I'm tired. I guess I'll turn it.
Oh, go ahead. Cato's in there. Turn your bed down.
Well, good night, Axford.
Well, good night, dear Reed.
Bed is ready, Mr. Britt.
Oh, Cato. Where's the $10,000?
In Black Beauty.
In the morning, we must see to it that he goes to that home for crippled children. Open the window, will you, Cato?
Yes, Mr. Britt.
My lullaby. Oh, good night, kiddo.